Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
From SI.com, joining us now is Mark Wogenrich. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Was there a salary cap in baseball? If that's it's still not involved, then okay.
Nah, it's a luxury tax.
Okay.
I'll give credit, though, on the luxury tax. Since they put it in 2001, 13 different teams have won the World Series and 19 different teams have gone to the World Series. So maybe there's something to it.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Still the $200 million payroll, I guess, though, right?
Yeah, I think they want to take it to 230 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, last I checked, SI.com doesn't have a $200 million payroll, so...
Would that they did.
It's Wogenrich not holding out. No, I'll take that. Thank you.
No. Right,
no, there's no holdout whatsoever. I don't know how much of last night's game you caught along the way, but just whatever you did catch last night, what were your general impressions of it?
I could say, I covered a lot of high school basketball in my day. I don't even remember a high school team playing five players the way Minnesota did for essentially that entire game. I think they substituted for 50 seconds. And understandably, situationally, that was the thing that they had to do. But as I'm watching this, I'm going, this would be a real, real gut-punching sting if Penn State could not beat a team of five players. And then that's how they finished off their season. So kudos and credit to them for overcoming, yet another kind of iffy shooting starts thing. And then with their defense, I don't know, we shoot 32% in the first half, and you're still down by four. At that point, you figure, yeah, we're in a game. You know, there's no question. And do what they do. Jalen Pickett hit that nice run in the second half, and other guys got hot, and you got the win. And I thought that was a big win for them in the sense that I don't see, like, the Big Ten tournament being them at this point like house money. I think they really wanted to get that first one because you don't want, like I said, I don't think they want that sting of going out losing. I believe it would have been five of the last six had they lost last night, particularly to lose in that game. At this point now, then you put yourself in a position. Look, they played Ohio State twice, played them close, really close the last time back in January-ish, if I'm getting the dates right, that five-point loss.
Yeah, it was January 16th, yep.
And Ohio State is kind of lumbering into this tournament too. Now I think you're playing, I think you could, you know, tonight I think Penn State, about any team that's out there can play with that devil-may-care kind of attitude and just really go for broke at it.
Yeah, and that's tonight will be the first time Penn State's played Ohio State with everybody. When they played them the first time, they had no Greg Lee. When they played them the second time, they didn't have Seth Lundy. So Penn State actually is going to be the team with everybody tonight. Ohio State won't. They won't have Kyle Young tonight. He's not going to be able to play, it looks like. Zed Key probably can play. Yeah. He played a little bit against Michigan. But Ohio State goes to Illinois and wins big. Wins. Great win. Mm-hmm. Well, they got it made now. And they go to Maryland. Lose. Then they come back home. Nebraska. Lose. Michigan at home. Lose.
Michigan down.
I mean, this is after you think you've got it made after you win in Illinois. That's how crazy this is, Mark.
Yeah, and then having looked back at the box of the Ohio State game last time, that's kind of a dysfunctional game that Penn State's probably going to want to try to play again today. And I assume Ohio State's going to be reasonably comfortable in there because neither team really does that. I forget what the stat is called, but it's possession time. Neither one is,
right.
Yeah, neither team is an 8-second possession group. You know, these are not running gunners. So if they get comfortable in each other's game, in each other's wheelhouse game plan, maybe that would benefit Ohio State because they'll be fresher and having not having had to play last night. But like I said, I don't think Micah Shrewsbury was really thrilled with the way they played in Columbus the last time. And I think he's probably looking forward to this one a little bit. And he said it after the game or maybe the day later. It's like, I hope we get him a third time, and they got it.
No, in terms of the bracket, I always look at the bracket And I'll say, okay, oh boy, this didn't go right. If they win the game, this is who they got next. Well, I looked at the bracket. Number one, I thought Minnesota was a better matchup for them than Nebraska. And then I looked at the next one. I said, well, to be honest with you, Ohio State's a better matchup than what they would have had it compared to somebody else. The matchup's there. So pace, you're talking about pace. Penn State's average possession length is 20.4 seconds. Okay, it's a 30-second shot clock.
Right.
They're 355th in the nation in pace. Ohio State is 311th.
All right. Yeah, and they're around, 19, 18 seconds or something like that?
Yeah, they're 19 seconds.
Not far behind. It's not like they're running it any quicker.
But that's good for Penn State. And the reason is, when you play last night, the slower the pace. You don't want to get into a team like that.
Yeah.
You're playing Michigan State. You're sprinting up and down the floor. Mm-hmm. They can run you out of gas. They're going to play this game at a pace where it's going to be about shots. In other words, the key for Penn State tonight, okay, when you look at Ohio State, no free throws, no threes. Now, you're going to give up some free throws and some threes. In fact, I think E.J. Liddell has 20 free throw attempts against Penn State this season. That's a big number. That's a big number.
Yeah. And with Pickett, Jalen Pickett playing 40 last night, I mean, he's done that before. Not new, but I don't think he's turned around 24 hours again and had to go potentially play 40 again. Seth Lundy was a boy. He's about 5 minutes above his average last night. I think he was 37 minutes and averaging around
32. He's 37. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 37.
Remembering the stats.
Right. Go ahead, Mark.
No, as you're going to be in that half-court pace, and you're not going to be running a gun, and maybe they'll try it in spurts just to get Ohio State maybe out of rhythm or something like that. And I think Mike Shrewsbury seemed to substitute pretty frequently, last night, obviously. But I think if you can run a little bit in spurts, even though that's not seemingly their style, maybe just to do something to get Ohio State out of kilter, maybe in stretches. I could be wrong about that, but it just seems like you want to, at this point in the tournament, you want to test your athleticism against a team if you have that athleticism to test over somebody like Ohio State.
Right. Well, again, neither team wants to play at a blistering pace.
Sure.
Now, I was kidding around with Johnny Holiday, who does Maryland, and he says, now, Penn State had not played him. He says, how do you play? And I said, slow. I said, but it's perfect. for my play-by-play. but you got to have some fun in life, Mark. Okay.
No doubt.
You got to do that. But that's. So that's the matchup tonight. The Indiana-Michigan game today was bizarre because Michigan's up 17. Juwan Howard, of course, gets booed left and right. coming in, you expected that. But Indiana, which never does well in this tournament, they don't. That's the odd part. Indiana's never won the thing. In fact, I don't even think Indiana's been to the finals. That's crazy.
Is that right?
I don't think Indiana has ever been to the finals of this tournament.
Wow, that's one of those strange but true facts, then. That one I wouldn't know. And that one, if you were telling me that, I would say, no, I can't possibly believe that. But that's fascinating.
Yeah. E.J. Liddell this season, by the way, has 18 free throw attempts against Penn State in the two games. Mm-hmm. Penn State as a team has 29.
Yeah.
In the two games.
That was a topic of a conversation I mean, a couple of weeks ago, obviously, about the foul shooting. And I don't know if there's been a bit of an equilibrium that. Not terribly, but it may be. Got some notice. Yeah,
they went to Illinois a week ago, and got outscored 15-1 at the free throw line.
Okay. Oh, no.
That was a week ago.
I think they
shot
15 last night, right? And a lot of some of the head dudes just the second half of the.
Well, again, they ran them out of gas. I think it's the first question I asked Mike. I said, Mike, do you feel like you just ran this team out of gas? And he goes, yeah, essentially they did. What do you think of the conference tournaments have been with us for a long time? And it used to be that the ACC winner, the only one that got the bid was the ACC. That's why they started opening up the tournament more.
Yeah.
What do you think of conference tournaments?
To me, they're fun lead-ins to the NCAAs because you can get quirky results out of that. And I think the quirky result kind of sets us up for NCAA tournaments, too, because then we look forward to stuff like that. Smaller conference tournaments, really, to me, are probably, yeah, I think they mean a lot more. In a tournament like this, and I mean, you know, a Big Ten tournament, who, you know, really, who can you say is going to come out of this to win this? I mean, you probably would say Illinois ultimately, but could you really conceive of Wisconsin or Purdue being outsiders and not having a chance to win? Heck, even Rutgers, I don't know, the hot hand kind of thing. That's why I like that. I think where it sets up, like I said, it sets you up for the way the NCAA tournament is going to, you know, hot teams getting into the NCAA tournament, too. I think it works much better than a conference tournament, in, you know, conference championship, so to speak, in college football.
Bruce Weber is now done as the head coach at Kansas State. And now, obviously, you and I know Bruce Weber. Penn State fans probably don't remember him coaching at Illinois, but he brought Illinois to the national championship game in 2005 before they lost to North Carolina. But he made some interesting statements after the game last night. And he said he would not cut his hair until the NCAA took care of the FBI situation. Now, you and I both know the NCAA is not taking care of the FBI situation. And he said he was talking with Lon Kruger, and he said, I kind of, now he still wants to coach.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So it's not like he doesn't want to coach anymore. But what does it tell me? And the NCAA building is four blocks from me here right now. And he said last night, he said, I don't understand why. He says he talked to Lon Kruger, and three of the four teams that have been hit with the by the FBI are going to the NCAA tournament again. What's the problem here? Normally, most people, I don't know about your area of the world, but most people think the FBI is a pretty reputable investigative unit.
It left me a little speechless on that one. I mean, I know, isn't Bruce Weber like on some sort of committee? I think I remember reading that he's on like the NCAA ethics committee or something like that. So he should know about that sort of thing. The FBI and the NCAA, I don't know, are, you know, strange bedfellows. Yeah. In that sense, and you know, a 2-year probe into basketball, are they holding out for some sort of smoking gun? Is that the issue? Can they not get people to you know, their subpoena's not working? Can they not get people to testify? Are they not finding the right are they not finding the stuff that gets them the not convictions, or at least just get them the evidence that they need. I'm at a loss on that one. Maybe I would go back to what Jerry Tarkanian said years ago, paraphrasing. They got so mad at North Carolina that they just sanctioned Cleveland State again. Was that the quote? Or
they're so mad at Kentucky they put Wichita State on probation.
Yeah, I just got the teams wrong. So
Wichita State. Let me give you just for a quick. I know you got to get going here, but I'll give you one of the great stories ever. I go into Joe Paterno's office. Right, and it was something we had to do something. I don't know, it was before a blue white game or something like that. Okay, so they said, "Hey, go on in." You know, he's in there with another coach right now. I said, oh, "Okay, great." So I walk in. You know who the other coach was? Jerry.
If you said Jerry Tarkanian, I am going to lose it.
It was Jerry Tarkanian. I'm sitting there like going, "Hi," like it goes under the category of the last person I expected to see. And they're, "Hey, Steve, how are you?" I haven't seen you since Madison Square Garden. I said, "Yeah, great to see you again, Coach." I'm thinking, why are you here?
Was this UNLV Jerry Tarkanian, or was this Fresno State Jerry Tarkanian?
Fresno State Jerry Tarkanian. Yeah.
Okay,
I was like, but it was under the category of, okay, if I had a list of five people I would never expect to see when I walked in.
They would be 5,000 on that list.
He'd be one of the five. I'd be like, yeah. Really? Coach, great to see you.
Oh, to be in on that conversation.
Oh, Joe's like, hey, Jerry, thanks so much. I'm like, oh, no. Okay. I did not, when I then had the chance to sit down with Joe, I did not ask him why Jerry Tarkanian was there. I just went right to the interview and just kept going. I thought you'd appreciate that story.
Very much so. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Oh, God.
A long time UNLV fan, way back in the day of that 1990 team.
Oh, and what a team that was. Oh,
yeah, I still contend the 91 team is the best starting five put on a college basketball court. And, you know, I don't know if the FBI is still probing those five guys. Who knows?
Oh, doesn't matter to me now. It was a lot of fun to watch. And you know what? They kind of played the game back in that era. Do you agree that we're seeing actually in the NBA today in some ways?
I think so, yeah. Sorry, a little bit. Yeah. I don't follow a ton of NBA basketball, but I can see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, wide open, moving, passing, cutting, shots. Yeah, Larry Johnson obviously could finish, and Stacey Augman could control the game, and it was just really – it's fun talking to every sport with you. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm just bringing up Larry Johnson. Take the shot against Duke. Come on.
Come on. Exactly.
11 seconds left in the semifinal. Take the shot.
Take the shot.
Dish it to Anderson Hunt. Oh.
No. Right? Well, it was like watching Wisconsin the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brad Davidson has the ball at the top of the key. He gives it up to the freshman.
Right,
Hepburn.
Right.
I'm like, Brad, take the shot. He's like, I got a choice between you and Chucky Hepburn. It's not close. Oh, well. Okay. Hey, always fun talking.
Yeah,
it's like,
appreciate
you're the guest.
It. Thanks, Steve. Enjoy the night.
Yeah, it's like these are supposed to be interviews, and Mark and I just talk. So,
exactly.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it.